Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. We hope your day is treating you good for this Monday, April 24th, 2023. It is 7:04 on the clock. You got your host, James J. Maloff, here. I am joined by Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
And Beth Habhager.
Good morning.
We are here to make sure that your day, your week starts off good. And last week of April is good, Vanya. Got some fun things lined up. Going to get into our National Day of calendar in a little bit. Looking forward to that. A little bit later, we're going to go ahead and touch on a couple of interesting subjects. I got to talk about animals. We got to talk about Bed Bath & Beyond.
So
we got those coming up for you. Who is the best employees out of the generations? We're going to get into that. Got that a little bit later. If you want to be taller, we can help.
Really?
Oh, dear.
If you'd like to be a little bit taller, would you like to be a baller? Would you? I don't know if anybody is going to get that reference.
I did.
Thank you, Beth. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Looking forward to that. Getting some more fun topics then. The 9 o'clock hour will kick off because it's Monday, of course, with the kitchens open.
Yay. Mm-hmm.
Got a fun and, a fun segment for you two. I'll say that. We'll leave it at that. I can't wait for it. It's actually a really interesting topic. Melissa does such a fantastic job with this show week in and week out. We send a big shout out to Chatterbox Catering sponsoring this segment. Love that.
Yes.
I love that the show inside the show is sponsored, but the show itself is not sponsored. I love that. It shows how good Melissa's show is. It shows how good it is. After that, we're still talking food because we are going to be joined by new chamber members, El Cafe.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. That is going to be a lot of fun. We're looking forward to meeting them and talking a little bit more food. We'll have some fun in that 9 o'clock hour after that as well with some Danny Wright stories and good stories of the day. Got some local good stuff I want to go over as well, like we do in that segment now. It's not just world good stories, but local good stories as well. Mm-hmm. And I want to start there. How was your weekends, everybody? Melissa, how was yours?
It was pretty good. I actually got in a lot of visiting this week and weekend, unexpectedly. My dad stopped by for a coffee on Saturday, so we had a nice little visit. And then just kind of spent Sunday relaxing and getting caught up on household chores. And I baked sourdough bread, which I haven't done in quite some time. So that was good.
How'd it turn out?
Actually, really good. I had to, I was nervous because my sourdough starter wasn't super active, so I added a packet of just regular instant yeast, and I was actually really happy with the results.
Good.
So.
Yeah, that's what I would have done, too.
Yeah.
The
way you would have went?
Yeah. I mean, I guess. You could have done a couple of things. I have no idea what I'm talking about. That's awesome. Nice work.
Yeah,
that's good to hear.
It turned out good. It's very tasty. So we'll enjoy that for several days here.
I love bread, and it feels like making bread would be a fun thing to do or a fun thing to learn to do and everything. And I know during the quarantine, especially, but during the pandemic, really, a lot of people are like, one of the biggest selling things was bread makers, people learning to make bread and everything. So I've been thinking about this since, you know, probably a little before then. I have not made one move towards actually making my own bread yet, but I've thought about it quite a bit.
If you would like to, James, I'm more than happy to share some of my sourdough starter with you.
I'd like that.
Beluga does a great job. You just got to take care of her and feed her every now and then.
I just thought of something because I was immediately going to say back, Melissa, I'm not a huge fan of sourdough. Maybe that's the way to go.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, making a bread I'm not that big of a fan of first and let other people try it.
Hey, Dad,
I made something. Try this. Usually you would try it, actually.
Well, and there's something to say for when you've made it yourself. It tastes different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know if there's anything in life that isn't like that. It's hard. It's one of the harder things to get through to a kid is how much more satisfying something is when you do it. Especially, I think the earliest thing is cleaning the room. You know?
Yeah.
Hey, you clean it, you're going to feel so much better. Oh, no, I won't. That's ridiculous. Why would I feel better at everything? And they usually don't. They don't realize they do, maybe.
Right. When did you come into my house?
It was the crux of my mother and father because they were both pretty good about keeping a good house and everything. They had a son in their firstborn that was, chip off the old block and everything. That's the way I am. My brother and sister, not as much. They are clean adults. They are very much, they had their houses clean and everything now. Mm-hmm. But as teenagers, no, not at all. and trying to get through to them how much better they would feel about things. But it's the same thing when you, when you're part of construction or mm-hmm. anything and you build something, or you're at home and you build a coffee table or something like that. It just feels better.
It's amazing, the sense of accomplishment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How was your weekend, Melissa? Beth, what did you? I had a good line there, and I mucked it up because you know what? Can we do a second take on that?
Can we do?
This isn't live. It's all right. All right, try and get into character. All right. I am a host.
Okay. And action.
How was your weekend, Joan? Darn it! Oh, I did it again. Beth, how was your weekend?
I've been called worse, James. We're good.
Joan was all that popped up. You look. I was trying to think of.
Because I look so much like a Joan.
Yeah, I was trying to think of the name you looked the most opposite of. For some reason, Joan popped in.
Okay.
I don't
call her Dorothy.
Yeah. Yes. I knew better than that one.
Why not? My kids do all the time.
How was the weekend?
The weekend was busy, but good. We had our next to the last Winter's Farmers Market. So if you haven't done it this Saturday. Is your last Saturday to come check it out at the Moravian Church from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. We still have several very loyal vendors that are coming, so there's a lot of good things to look at. But just kind of catching up, it was a busy week. I had a funeral on Thursday and a death that same day, so getting ready for that this week as well. So it's just, and then worship yesterday went really well. We had a very good turnout, so, you know, just keep going.
Heart is with them. That's very difficult. I can't imagine the job, you know, mm-hmm. some days. As rewarding as it can be, I can only imagine. Those kind of days can be pretty difficult. I admire the perseverance of moving forward, mm-hmm. you know. It's always admired in anything. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, you look at the pastor as the one to be able to lead everybody else through that grief, and people forget that death touches us too. So it takes a little bit of time to kind of process that and keep going as well.
I know for me, when it comes to loss, when it comes to those things, especially if it is close to me, my brain immediately goes to everybody around me and protecting them, taking care of them, doing whatever they can. And it usually is like, Carl's passing is an example. I didn't really get into how I felt about Carl's passing until at least a year and a half later. Mm-hmm. There was so much else going on. There were so many other people that needed things and stuff, and I just don't really put myself or my feelings first. I don't think about it that way. It's not the way my brain works. And by the time I get around to my stuff, I'm sitting there crying over his death a year later, you know, finally, and that kind of thing. I'm not saying that's healthy either, by the way. I'm not saying that's a good thing at all.
Well, it's just an example.
You should process things in a good amount of time.
Grief, everybody handles grief differently.
Yeah.
And there's no one set way to do it or timeline for it. And so to expect everybody to be at the same place at the same time is very unrealistic and unfair.
I have found burying things really helps. Just bury everything as much. No, that's not the way.
There's a process. Burying is not part of that.
Gotcha.
So how was your weekend, James?
Busy. You know, it was pretty crazy. It was pretty busy. We had a lot of things going on this weekend with school. Had to do two different classes. One that was really, really rewarding, but another one where we did this bit about animals. It's actually improv A, improv B. We do these skits where I'll take you and Melissa, I'll put you guys together, and you can't talk. But you get to pick an animal. You can be any animal you want, and your goal is to break out of a zoo together without speaking.
Okay.
And it's a way of building chemistry and building, you know, confidence in your fellow actors. It's my version to me. It's something I came up with as a way to do a trust fall without doing a trust fall.
Okay.
For actors, you know, to be able to learn, lean on each other, and all those things. And we've been doing those skits for a while, but I didn't realize what a bad influence I am on the animal kingdom. I apologize, everybody. I've been doing this routine, this lesson for at least over 11 years now, and I look at the oddities section in a couple of our local papers and everything, and all I'm seeing is just the chaos with the animal kingdom. I've got a couple questions. I'm going to give you three quick hit stories here, all right? And I've just got a couple thoughts after with all of these combined.
Okay.
This first one is about a cow wandering wanders into a hardware store in Israel and spills paint everywhere.
Whoops.
This cow is a beautiful cow. It's a brown white cow. It's booking through the... Mm-hmm. It got there. It got to the store and immediately realized, oh, this is the wrong hardware
store.
I'm in the wrong store. I'm at the hardware store on the other side of town. And it just books out of there. It's great video.
With intent and purpose.
Did not pay for the spilled paint.
Darn.
So that's a note I think should be mentioned.
Must have left his wallet in the pasture.
Yeah, it happens to all of us. We've all been there. Next up was this deer trapped inside a home for 2 hours.
2 hours?
It was locked in there. This deer crashed through a window into Victoria, Australia home and ended up trapped in the home with two children for 2 hours. Alexander, for 2 hours.
Wow.
Alexander Hill said he was at work meeting when his children started messaging him that there was a deer inside with their home. It was a freak occurrence, Hill told the newspaper. You don't really see that many deer in this area, and I thought it was going to be more Bambi and less large stag.
Oh, no.
But it was a fairly big animal. Hill said the deer was likely confused when it caught its own reflection. We have reflective windows, so when it saw itself through it, it was threatened, and it went right through the glass.
Oh, my.
So it spent 2 hours trying to find that other deer.
Yes. A ranger arrived at the house but didn't have any tranquilizers. A second ranger was summoned to bring tranquilizer darts, and rescuers from the nonprofit Vets for Compassion also showed up. They were all able to remove the animal safely.
Good.
And if that wasn't enough.
Oh, no.
This one takes the cake sheep spends hours trying to enter a Connecticut home. Here's an animal that didn't even get inside, but was trying to.
Aww.
A sheep wandered up to a Connecticut man's front door and spent hours waiting to be let inside the house. Eric Cormer said he was getting ready to leave for work when he spotted a sheep in the middle of his South Windsor Road. Cormer said he went outside to take a photo of the sheep, and the animal immediately started running for his front door. Trying to get inside.
Let me in. Yeah.
Here's the twist on Bo Peep. The sheep went looking for her.
Yeah, I like it. He said the sheep remained at his front door for hours.
Just sitting there ringing the doorbell.
Just ringing the doorbell.
Let me in.
Cormer said he let the dog, his dog inside, and the sheep then positioned itself at his back door. The sheep was still at the same spot when he came home on his break to check on his animal. Animal control eventually arrived at 9 p.m. to take the sheep home to its farm on the Nevers Road in South Windsor. It seems like this sheep was just looking for a ride.
Just looking for
a ride home.
Please
and
take
everything.
Me home.
So, do we? There's a couple of things here. For one, should we just be making all doors bigger now for department stores and everything? And just this happens enough where I wonder if we should just, you know, get around this whole thing and just start making the doors a lot bigger. They're already electric. They already open when the deer shows up. That's how it gets inside. It doesn't obviously open any doors. But I'm wondering if we just need to go ahead and just embrace this and just start opening the doors wider. And to that point. Yeah, since these, we still keep on running into this, banging our head against the wall as far as, why can't these businesses find employees? Even though we keep yelling at the top of our lungs, pay them a livable wage. Nobody will listen to that. I'm almost to the point where I'm done with this and just expecting workers to find jobs elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But for those businesses that are still looking for people, the Animal Kingdom.
Absolutely.
The animals are already coming into our businesses, into our homes. We've already taken over their land. They have nowhere else to go. We might as well give them a job.
Maybe that's what happened with the cow. He came looking for a job, and when he wasn't hired, he stormed out.
How dare you not hire me? You don't hire cows? Fine. I'm storming out of here.
I'm taking out the paint and going home.
It wasn't a great interview. No, it was. When they asked him where he'd be in 5 years, you know, that was a really tough question. That was very difficult.
On your plate.
Shouldn't
have gone there.
Was it too real? Too real? Was it too real for you, Mr. Employer? That's what happened there. That poor cow. He was just trying to be good. So I don't know. It's something to think about to all of our businesses out there and everything. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time we start hiring the Animal Kingdom. Take a break. Come back. Have some more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. I just banged my knee.
Ow.
Yeah.
Ow.
Yeah, really bad, too.
Like, I'm sorry.
Right in that one spot where there's no meat on the knee.
Yeah.
There's no meat there. That's it's the just bone. It's,
do you want me to kiss it and make it better?
It's just bone and pain. That's all that's waiting for you with that. Welcome back, everybody. Hope everybody's having a good start to their day out there. Thanks for joining us. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. It's time for us to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this April 24th, 2023. What happened to April?
Yeah.
Just gone.
No kidding.
Just gone. Blink, gone. I wanted to look at a couple of things that we were talking about earlier in the month, because just wrapping up, getting closer to wrapping up the month. It's National Jazz Appreciation Month.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
Certainly a lovely day, a lovely thing to take in. Mm-hmm. Stress Awareness Month. That's another one to keep in mind.
Mm, yes. That's why the month disappeared.
Yeah.
Time flies when you're stressed.
It certainly does. Autism Acceptance Month.
Yes.
It's a fantastic one.
Important.
Very important. Mm-hmm. And National Garden Month.
Yeah.
We're coming up on the season.
Yeah, yeah. We know that our friends over at Family Natural Foods got all their seeds in. So at least Katrina was saying that last week. They did last week. They had some. I don't know how that's still doing. Always encourage you to stop over there. And we got so many great growers, gardeners, you know, greenhouses in this area.
Mm-hmm.
Can't think of one that isn't a bad one to go to.
If it just stops snowing.
Yeah. It's National Firefly Day.
Hey.
All right.
The show they should have never canceled.
Yeah.
Oh.
Though it only had one season, Firefly became quickly grew a cult following of geeks and sci-fi lovers. The iconic space opera has remained popular for over 20 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah. All right, brown coats. It's time to go out into the black and gather up those lost souls who have yet to experience the wonder that is Firefly. I know I have a couple. I just had a friend about a year or two ago. Actually, no. That was longer than that. This shows that time is just, you know, doesn't matter anymore. It was during the pandemic, actually. So it was more than a year or two ago. I'd never heard of Firefly. I sent it to him and everything. And it created this, like literal firestorm, because he ended up sending it to another person and then to another person and everything. Thing, and it just was fun.
How did we not know of this?
Yeah, it was one of those things.
I know of it. I haven't watched it yet.
I started watching it mainly because of the cast.
Nathan Fillion. I love Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, I really like him, and I like a lot of the other actors that I'd seen in other things. I came out of it. I'm a big Alan Turek fan, so much so that I don't know how to say his last name. And He's the reason for me. Nathan Fillion is fantastic. He's proven that. He's gone to two different. I think this is he's on with the Rookie. He's on his third or his fourth sitcom that has worked out. Because I would say that even if Firefly didn't work, it was only for one season. Its legacy is intact. It's not just the show's legacy. It's what the fan base did with the show. Right. They were able to get a movie out of it. Because the fans were so bent out of shape that it got canceled. This has existed for the beginning of TV. A show gets canceled and the fan base is not happy about it. They let the producers, they let the TV network know about it.
Mm-hmm.
With Firefly, things really started to change because fans started sending stuff to the building, like to Fox after the cancellation. And it got so much noise that Fox was like, all right, we're not giving them a show, but we should make a movie out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they make a movie out of it. It sadly didn't bring the show back, but it's helped other shows survive. And now we're at a point like a Magnum P.I. show where it spends a couple seasons at one network, and then it goes to another.
Right.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, same thing. Started on Fox, went to NBC. I think it's a... It's one of the cooler things I've seen in entertainment in quite some time, because since I was a kid, I've never understood if a show's not working here, why not get, and you know, it did pretty well. It's one thing if it's a cop rock and it's a bomb, but if it's a Firefly and it's got a good, Firefly didn't have bad ratings. it just didn't equal out because the budget didn't equal the amount of eyeballs it was getting. You can't. you just can't keep a show on the air that way. You can't work a show in the black. It's just impossible, especially for a small network like Sci-Fi, even though it's owned by it was owned by Fox at the time. Melissa, you were a fan of the show, though, right?
Oh, yeah. I really enjoyed the show.
Yeah, it's a fun little show.
I rewatched it several times.
I think it's a perfect cast, and it's a fun show. It still holds up, and its legacy is intact, again, because I think every time a show is canceled, one of the things that people think about is Firefly.
Mm-hmm.
National Pigs in a Blanket Day.
Yum.
Pigs in a blanket are good.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not even huge on hot dogs, and I like pigs in a blanket.
Well, when you wrap a hot dog in a croissant, I mean, it doesn't get a whole lot better than that.
I'm a huge fan of croissants. I think that's what it comes down to. Is there's not a lot of things that you couldn't, you know, a tire, you put it in a croissant. Oh, I might take a bite. I might try. I want to see where it came from, though. Pigs in a blanket are a simple concept, but who came up with these? The process of making the... some sources give credit for the recipe to Betty Crocker, who printed a version with the name in a 1957 cookbook. However, everyone knows that these little snacks go back way farther than that, spanning time and culture. So although Betty Crocker may not get credit for the idea, she probably was the first to put the name in print, which caused it to become a well-known term in the United States.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So interesting. Okay. Right.
I would think that it's a very common, easy way to, like street vendors would do it, you know, meat inside bread and meat and bread.
Yeah, right.
Can't get much better than that.
It's one of the oldest combinations we've made. Yeah.
Yep.
In Mexico, these delightful little snacks are known as salacatos, a combination of salatra, which means sausage, and almost a universally recognizable taco. One of the unique verities of pigs in a blanket can be found in China, where the meat is wrapped in a pastry that is steamed instead of being fried or baked. There it is known as a lap chong bao. Sometimes in Asia, these are wrapped in cabbage leaves.
All right.
Nice.
Not bad. Not bad.
I like this one that looks like a German name. Sausage in a dressing gown.
That's a good one. I like that. And perhaps our favorite international variation is the Nakapila. Oh, boy. We have some Finnish listeners out there. I'm going to need some help. You guys got to send me an email about how to say this. Mm-hmm. Nakapikala, which is the... I tried to Italianize Finnish words. Is Finnish word for what English speakers call pigs in a blanket. This version means, clearly enough, hidden sausage. Nah, that's a good one. I like that. And let's see. Finally, it is Scream Day. Self-care is important, but it doesn't always mean good-smelling candles, bubble baths, and meditation. Sometimes you just need to the catharsis of a good scream. I would not necessarily do this at work.
Probably not.
I also would not recommend doing this on a radio where people have their headphones in or those kind of things or something like that. I think the easy low-hanging fruit would be for me to have screamed that. I care too much about our listeners.
Yeah.
I'm
thank
not going to do that.
Yeah.
You probably have headphones on too, Mel. Yeah. I do agree with this method of therapy, though. I do think this is very helpful. I know some people who will... put the, you know, not just scream into a pillow. That's where they'll get their swear words out. Swear words are not classy and all these things and stuff. Swear words exist for a reason, and this is it. You know, when you're frustrated. I love what John Wayne said. John Wayne was a sneakily one of the biggest fighters against censorship in movie history. John Wayne is the reason why you got cowboys swearing in movies eventually and everything. He had a scene where he got his foot caught in a bear trap, and the line was, "Oh, shoot." And John looked at the director and said, "There's no way in human history no man has ever said, 'Oh, shoot,' after getting his foot caught in a bear trap." We all know what you're going to say in that moment and everything. Gosh darn it, look what happened. Can you believe this? Hey Ted.
Holly G. Willikers.
Ted, would you look at, well, gosh dang. It's part of it. Now, that tells us something right there, because in that moment, it can feel a little good. whether you like it or not, it can feel a little good to vent to get that out of your system. Mm-hmm. That's what this is. That's what this is all built around, is screaming. It doesn't have to be a word. It doesn't have to be anything coherent even. You're having a rough moment. You're having a rough day. Your voice goes out on you every day. Little things are frustrating. You like that. Scream.
James, I don't recommend you scream because I don't think that's going to help your voice.
Probably not.
The way I do this is listen to rock music, like heavy kind of metal rock music in my car. Mm-hmm. Just kind of scream, sing along with it.
I find that to be one of the better ways for me to vent too. Especially right before a workout or something like that, or just even if the weekends are usually a time for me to be able to do that, to really get things out of my system. I feel like during the week, I'm so caught up in like, okay, what's next? Okay, what's next? That I don't really focus on my feelings much. I don't know how that sounds saying it out loud, but just being honest. I hear you, Melissa. I think that's a good way. Beth, is there a way that you release? Is there a way you vent?
Oh, I grunt.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because I don't like using those other words. And screaming just doesn't really work. So just that frustrated grunt that gets kind of loud sometimes.
Yeah. did you ever play tennis? Did you?
Actually, I did.
Did you? Right on.
I didn't grunt then, though.
No. Huh. Weird.
Maybe I just didn't get angry enough when I was playing tennis.
That's what it was. Vent how you need to vent, and be there for people too, because one of the other things I think of with this is our ears are close to our shoulders for a reason. We ask people to lean on us, be those ears, listen, be a good be a good partner, be a good friend, all those things.
Yeah.
Take a break. Come back. We're going to talk a little Bed Bath & Beyond and some more on the morning show here at WFHR, after Melissa's news, I should say, coming up here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We hope you're having a good one out there. Thank you for joining us. Melissa, Beth, and James here. I think it's one of Janet Jackson's more underrated songs.
Mm.
How did Janet Jackson get lost in like the lexicon, like the memory, like pop music, all that? Like, I don't feel like she gets mentioned at all anymore. It doesn't make any sense to me. She's one of the biggest one of the greatest pop stars of all time.
Yeah,
like, top five, top ten. You got to put her in. Like, I don't know how you can keep her out of the top ten. At the least, the top ten. That's weird. We got some weird stuff to get into right now, because I didn't think this day was coming. I'll be completely honest. When the first like Bed Bath and Beyonds, like not when they first opened. I mean, when they first started showing up in like towns like Wisconsin Rapids and things like that, and not in Madison or Chicago. I mean, like in rural areas, you knew it was big. You knew it was okay. This is huge. And like a lot of guys, my first time in a Bed Bath & Beyond was with a girlfriend. and I don't believe I ever stepped into one of those stores when I was not dating somebody. It was always like that or something like that. So I don't know. I don't want to act like I know the store that well. But my opinion from an outsider perspective, they had so much going on. They had so many different things that was one of those ones that I thought, well, even as in-person retail's dying a little bit here, they'll be all right. Right. They'll just go online, I mean, that should work and everything. And I think this is going to be one of the bigger, not bigger stories so much maybe to us as citizens, but in the business world, this one's going to stand out. It reminds me a little bit of what we were just talking about with the TV show with Firefly.
Mm-hmm.
30 years from now, people are still going to be talking about Firefly, even if they're not talking about the show itself, but what the fan base did with the show and the movement it made. This is a little more behind the scenes stuff where there's a lot of different things, moving parts that just didn't do right. And a lot of who suffered, customers, but I would say more importantly, employees.
Right.
Because customers are going to find soap in other places.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to find that cucumber soap somewhere else. It's not always easy to find another job somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So America has been through a lot over the past 25 years, but there was one constant. You could find a 20% off coupon to use for Bed Bath & Beyond. It was always there for you.
Yeah, every time you moved, you'd get one.
Yeah. Okay. Bed Bath & Beyond has been struggling for a while, and yesterday they declared bankruptcy.
Wow.
There's no restructuring or anything. It is over. The coupons will only be good through tomorrow, although I heard Wednesday was the last day they were going to be accepting them, so you might want to check on that. And they, after that, they'll be useless. But it doesn't matter because they're liquidating everything, so there will be deep discounts and going out of business sales. If there's a Bed Bath & Beyond near you, you know, this is your last shot.
Yep.
The store began in 1971 as Bed & Bath. The first store was in New Jersey. It became Bed Bath & Beyond in 87. And in the late 90s, it started becoming a mainstream big box store. And that's when the Big Blue coupons started. The store peaked around 2011 when there were more than 1,100 stores. The troubles started in back in 2019. Naturally, the pandemic didn't help. If you're a Big Bath & Beyond shopper, here's what you need to know. Starting Wednesday, everything will be the final sale and won't be returnable. Also, be sure to use your gift cards. You have 2 weeks. They'll stop accepting them on May 8th, and they'll stop accepting reward points for their loyalty program on May 15th. If you have a registry through Bed Bath & Beyond, they'll be reaching out to you about transferring it to a competitor's service.
Wow.
We're used to, like, how long did Sears hang on? You know, they filed bankruptcy and they were still around for another 5-6 years or something like that. I think we're so used to that. When we hear bankruptcy nowadays, it's kind of like, oh, all right, they're going to be gone. These guys are gone already. Like,
right.
This. And that shows you how... And I'm not at all trying to say that I know how to run a business. I just know what I read and what real people that know how to run a business will tell you. And it tells you a lot of how the behind the scenes, how horribly this was handled. Mm-hmm. This is a business that was naturally made to go online. Easily made to go online.
Yeah.
It is tailor-made for it. Now, there are a few businesses that were better suited to transition from retail world to online world than Bed Bath & Beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Why did this not work? Why did this not happen? For one, I would say that one of the biggest causes of this are when CEOs, the people that are making these decisions, live in bubbles. And in that bubble, you have nothing but yes men.
Yep.
And people that will tell you what you want to hear. And this happens to in every industry with anybody way up on top.
Mm-hmm.
It can happen with if 5 kids are running a lemonade stand and one kid is just, you know, just sitting there at the top of the pyramid and everything. And all he does is listen to mom and dad. All they want to do is say, you're the handsomest boy in the world and everything you do is great. And you're in all these things. Well, that kid's not, you know, he's not going to listen to his employees. That business isn't going to work. I don't care if it's a lemonade stand. I don't care what it is. Nothing works that way. There is no, especially in today's day and age, no industry. I don't know. Take radio, for example. There's no one size fits all.
Right.
What works, this program would not work as a national program. You wouldn't play a program like this in downtown Madison or in Waukesha or something like that. Our program is pretty tailor-made for our area.
Mm-hmm.
You can listen to us. We got listeners all over the country.
Right.
A lot of those listeners have ties to Wisconsin Rapids, have ties to Wisconsin. We're okay with that. I'm okay with that. I don't do the show for, you know, the masses. I do it for our local audience. I would think that most radio stations would do that. That just seems to be one of the only ways to make radio survive and make it profitable. This is no different. The Bed Bath & Beyond thing is no different. They don't listen to the world. They don't listen to the people out there.
Their
and stuff.
Customers. Yeah.
Yeah. You think, okay, well, yeah, I see that business and that business going down, but we're going to be fine. My people are telling me we're fine. My people are telling me we're all okay. And of course your people are telling you that because they don't want to lose their jobs. They don't want to be the bad guy, or they want to give you, just keep feeding you. Yes, quit. Yes, you're right. Yes, you're correct. Yes, every decision you make is perfect, Elon. I mean, owner. Yeah. It's what happens. This is how you lose a business.
Well, and they think that they can change and sway the consumers' minds, and they forget it's the consumer that's really the ones that's giving them money. So the consumer... Right.
They're kind of in charge.
Yeah.
Consumers are realizing that more and more than ever, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's finally kind of kicking in. So I think that's a strong point.
And it's really, really important for the people at the top to listen to the people on the ground, the ones who are their employees, who are working and interacting with their customers. And they're the people, not the yes men.
Right.
I question your leadership, and I question if you should be in the position if you are not listening to your people.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not listening, not just to your people, to your customers. Whatever business you are, you have customers. We have customers.
Right.
They're called listeners, but we have customers. If you're not listening to them, if you're not listening to your fellow employee, your employees and all that, I don't think you are a good leader. I don't think you should be in that position. I have no problem saying that. I don't understand how you can be in that position other than, you know, you got a lot of money. We'll take a break. We'll come back, have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back to the show, everyone. We are going to hear from our friends at the top of the hour, at the Weather Eye Weather Center. So we'll wrap things up here. First hour almost done. I don't know how that happened. That was crazy. That just went right by. So we'll take you right to the top of the hour. CBS News will come in and catch you up on all your world news. After that, we'll have a live and direct update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Paul Trombley usually joins us, gives us a nice heads up on what Mother Nature has in store for us. After all of that, I want to get into what's the weirdest thing you remember from the start of the pandemic.
Okay.
We're going to get into that in the kickoff, the 8 o'clock hour. Of course, 8 o'clock hour will also feature Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Looking forward to that. Did want to let everybody know, Playmakers going on today, of course. Looking forward to it. Going to be a fun show. Playmakers every Monday from 10 to 11. It's your sports call-in show. You have sports feelings. Get them out of your system. It's National Scream Day.
Yeah.
After the Brewer game yesterday, you might want to. Call up.
People have some things to scream about baseball.
Yep.
Yes. 10 to 11 today, we encourage you to call up and join the conversation. Seth and I will be doing the show together today. And we are welcoming in Tyler Miller, manager with your Wisconsin Rapids Raptors. We're talking baseball.
Yay. And the phone lines are working today, so you can call the entire hour.
Yes, thank goodness. But poor Seth had to just hang in there with me through that whole thing. We're really excited about Tyler joining us. It's our first Raptor appearance of the new year. And of course, that means that Raptor baseball is right around the corner.
Yes.
We are the home of Raptors baseball. Always have been, always will be. Every hit, every pitch, every win of Raptor baseball we have had right here on this radio station at WFHR. Looking forward to Tyler joining us and meeting the audience here. That's going to be a lot of fun. For right now, this is an interesting conversation, I think. Millennials used to be seen as entitled hipsters who required constant praise. So your day will come, Gen Z, but it's not here yet. A new survey by Resume Builder found that millennials are now seen as the best employees.
Wow.
And Gen Zers are the worst.
Interesting.
They pulled 1,300 bosses. 74% said Gen Z is harder to work with than any other generation. Here's the most surprising stat. When asked why Gen Z workers aren't so great, the top answer was they're bad with tech.
Oh.
Interesting. Yeah. 39% of bosses said that the Gen Z workers they've hired have had a, quote, lack of technological skills in general. The top five complaints about Gen Z workers are a lack of tech skills, a lack of effort, a lack of motivation, and they're not as productive as other workers, and they're easily distracted. Poor communication skills and being easily offended just missed the top five, but right outside the line. And the last one is also a common reason Gen Z gets canned, apparently. Two-thirds of bosses said that they have had to fire Gen Z workers more often than other employees. The top three reasons are a lack of motivation, not trying hard enough, and they're too thin-skinned. So I don't feel like we should have to say this, but I feel like it also has to be said. There is always outliers. There are always everything is a case by case basis.
Right.
I can't stand when we generalize like this. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. I have a teacher who would fall under the Gen Z qualifications that I think is one of the hardest workers I've ever known in my life. You know, I mean, it doesn't. And she does. None of these apply to her whatsoever. I would say that some of these might even apply to me more than her. But I've also known Gen Zers that are a little bit like these things. Just like I've known people in my generation that are like these things, and you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
There are boomers that are lazy, okay? It existed. It happened. The idea that we can clump anything together in this day and age. We can't even clump animals together. Like, two dogs are going to be completely from the same breed, from the same litter, are going to be completely different. Two twins from the same parents are going to be completely different, oftentimes. I mean, you can't even lump that together anymore. So
I like that they say these concepts about generations, you know, like Gen Z, millennials, they're squishy concepts.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that description for some reason. I don't know. Because lumping people into these categories has always really bothered me.
Well, yeah. And it's very dangerous. I mean, it's been a justification for genocide and for other violent acts as well. Because if I meet one, then they're all like this. And no, maybe that's just the exception, not the rule.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, there's good and bad well everywhere mm-hmm. and in everything. So. Mm-hmm.
What about like clarifying this a little bit? Like, does anybody even know what generation they are? Like, I just looked it up just to double check. I had to look it up. Thank you, Melissa. Thank you, Melissa.
Yeah. So what did
you
say,
Beth? I'm sorry, I talked over you.
I'm Gen X.
Oh, you're Gen X. Okay,
I know I'm Gen X.
You're Gen X. Got that down.
Well, and yeah, because Gen Z is like 97 to 2013.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the greatest, I got to say that like Tom Brokaw, the greatest generation. I wish I could do a good Brokaw. I like great voice. The greatest generation is people born from 1901 to 1924. The silent generation is people from 1925 to 1945. Mm-hmm. The baby boomer generation is 1946 to 1964. Generation X, 1965 to 1979. I know that's Beth yep. and I. Yep. Melissa, are you in that group? I'm not sure.
Nope.
No, I didn't think so.
Seth is.
Okay. Millennials, born from 1980 to 1994.
That's me.
Okay. Generation Z, 1995 to 2012. And Gen Alpha, born 2013 to 2025. And I have no problem admitting to the rest of the world, I have never heard Gen Alpha
me
before.
Me neither. That's
okay,
the first.
Thank you, Beth. Thank you.
Gen Alpha.
When did that happen? Who's naming these
exactly.
things?
Exactly.
Who gets to name this stuff? And when do we decide where the cutoff is? This isn't like, I get it if it was 1901 to 1909. You know, right. If it was every 10 years, every decade was a different generation, that would make sense to me. This is all over the map. This is, you got some that last like from like a decade, some that last longer than that. Like it feel maybe I'm just not seeing the connections or the maybe I'm not smart enough to see how they did this or how they constructed it. I'll be honest, because it looks like they are just like throwing darts at a yep. board, basically. Like, I don't know. And who gets to name these things? I want to know that. I want answers on that one.
Well, and there's micro generations in all of those
yep.
segments
right.
too. Because
right.
I'm actually in. One of those specific micro generations, just because I was born in 82.
Yeah.
But I can't figure out which one it is. I think it's Gen X.
They don't, they also.
Zennials.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, what is our desire to label things?
I know.
When did this start? How did it get this bad? Like, I'm not saying that it's new. It's been around from the, you know, I'm sure cavemen even mm-hmm. tried to label things a bit and everything. We just have always had to. Is that where it stems from? Where, like, the early people, the early cavemen were naming things, and we just got into it, and now we all want to be able to name stuff? Like, since everything's named already now, there's nothing new to name, so now we got to name generations, like, name things that don't really need names.
Well, we could always go back to Harry Potter, where it was a power thing. If you houses. Name the thing, you have power over the thing.
Yeah, maybe. Oh.
Or is it just a way to refer, like for researchers, to mm-hmm. refer to a group of people, of giving it a label instead of, okay, so anybody born between this generation, or you know, this year and this year.
Mm-hmm.
That would make sense to me, because that would be more along the lines of, we were never meant to use these in like necessarily common talk,
right.
You know,
right.
That kind of thing. That would make a lot more sense. And actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I bet you that's got to be a big part of the reason where that comes from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then we go ahead and get our hands on it.
We can call people this too, sure.
We find another way to be divisive, to find separation with ourselves and everything. And that just doesn't add up for me. I'm not cool with that. Because every generation's got lazy people in it. Every
right.
generation's got hardworking people in it. If there was any other way, if I was wrong, there's no way we'd be here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're too young of a country to have had any generation not be a great generation.
Right.
Every generation has been great. Every generation has put in work. Like, we're not here as a country if a good 10, 15-year stretch, That generation just not pulling their weight, just not doing anything.
Right.
Like that may come, you know, in the future. I don't know. But as far as the generations that have already been, like, no. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. I got perfect evidence for you that every generation's got hard workers in it.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and listening to the description as to why it, with this specific generation Gen Z thing that being fired, I'm listening to all the traits, especially the reasoning behind being fired, and they're actually traits that are used for people with ADHD a lot.
Yeah.
And that's the generation where we started to pull back again. Mm-hmm. So, there was that generation where everybody was getting labeled with it, and then we started to pull way back with it. So, you know, how are we to know that the ones that they're interacting may be undiagnosed with that, and what can they do to help them understand that in themselves?
I'm a little, not a little, I've been frustrated since I was young, but very frustrated in recent years. I always thought that this was one of those things that would get better. The idea of every older person telling every younger person that they don't know how lucky they have it, mm-hmm. and how they need to work harder and do better and all mm-hmm. this and everything. But we keep doing this to the next generation. Like every generation keeps doing it to the next generation. And we've all had this done to us. We mm-hmm. all know better. We know how much that sucks. We know how much frustrating that is and everything, and now we keep doing it. Like that's the definition of insanity,
right?
That doesn't make any sense. I fight back against that.
We do it the other direction too, where we romanticize previous generations.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And previous, you know, it's the grass is always greener concept.
Yep. America has never been perfect.
No.
Like, and that's okay, because no other country has been either. All right. Just get that out there and everything before anybody bashes me or something like that. But this idea that in the 40s or 50s was a better time or a perfect time in the country or something like that, maybe for you. Not for ethnic people.
No.
Not for poor people. No, I mean, and even you and even your family, you might look back and like, we always romanticize the past. Heck, I romanticized living in the projects. Like, come on. I mean, we romanticize everything in life. That's what nostalgia is. That's what the past is.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You remember the best and you forget the worst.
Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe the clue here is to get employers to look at, you know, what can we do to help improve this instead of just firing people for it.
I think that is well said. I agree. Otherwise, hiring animals. I come back
there
to
you
it.
Go.
Hiring
yep.
animals. Nobody's saying, oh, that those zebras are Gen Zers. Or like, no. Just hire some
there
animals. Get them in there. They're already coming into our buildings anyway. We'll take a break. We'll come back, have some more fun after CBS News here on The Morning Show at WFHR.